Thank you for checking out the Faith City Church podcast. We believe that you'll be blessed by today's message.
You know, I was thinking as I was putting some notes together last night, and it's interesting, I was talking to Pastor Chris down at the Faith City campus in Palm Harbor, and he and I were both going the same direction. And I don't want to seem cliche this morning or like, yeah, that makes sense, like jumping on a bandwagon. But, you know, with the crisis occurring all around the world right now, I mean, we're all kind of feeling this, right? And I believe it's so easy to let fear and anxiety take control of our lives. I know for me that I actually had in the last few days, I would have these moments where I'd be driving or I'd be at home and it would just hit me like, this isn't something I've ever had to deal with. How about you? And I thought, well, okay, do we have enough food? Is the family okay? What about finances? I mean, all these things can run through your mind. And it wasn't like I dwelled on it for, you know, hours. It was just these fleeting moments where I was like, and almost got kind of captivated for a moment by fear. And then I had to remember, wait a minute, this isn't the end of the world. This will pass. I have friends. I have family. God is good. It's remembering those things, right? But I heard someone say this, that fear is a negative emotion caused by a real or perceived threat to our well-being, whereas anxiety is unease and nervousness about an event, person, or problem that we can't control. And then we have worry. How many have worried before? Worry is to dwell mentally on the difficulty or trouble with persistent concern. And what's interesting is if you get into worry, worry can turn into anxiety. I've been there. And then anxiety can turn into fear. They're all the same emotion. They're just these different levels of emotion. But in Scripture, we are actually told, sometimes we can say even commanded, not to fear. See, I believe that God knows us better than we know ourselves. And we say God, we say Father, we could say Source, we could say Divine, we could say Source or Origin, right? It's what we come from. It's that DNA, it's that connection. And I believe that God knows us so well that when we allow fear and worry and anxiety to consume us, it does something to us, not just emotionally, but it does something even to us physically. You ever been nervous about something or fearful and you literally started to shake? Or you just felt like this overwhelming feeling? You know, when it happens, you're releasing things in your body, and physiologically, science has proven that people who have fear and anxiety and worry, even bitterness and hatred, that it affects them physically. I mean, you can contract disease. What it does is it opens your body up to receive the bad rather than, you know, ward that off. Does that make sense? And so when we see this thing, sure, we can over-spiritualize it, or we can say, wow, God knows how we tick. He knows how we work. And so he's saying, even commands in places not to fear. In fact, the prophet Isaiah, I believe, speaking, inspired by the Holy Spirit, inspired by God, says, do not fear, for I am with you. Maybe some of us need to say, I won't fear because God is with me. Jesus said in Matthew, do not worry about your life. Come on, Jesus, how is that even possible? And then we know that Paul says in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything. And I've shared that scripture, I don't know how many times I thought, come on, Paul, seriously, dude, like about anything? But see, there's something to this. Our Father tells us that the way we overcome worry and fear and anxiety is by focusing on him. It's getting our focus right. When we focus on him, we realize that worry and anxiety aren't our default. It's not our default in life. He is our default. Jesus is our default. So this morning, I want to talk about this idea of soul restoration. Say that with me. Soul restoration, and more specifically, rejecting toxic thoughts. You know, everything starts as a thought. It starts as an idea. And how many know that we can choose to meditate on one thing over another? You know, sometimes we hear that word meditation and we think, oh, that's weird and new agey. No, God actually said, he told the Hebrews to meditate on his word, right? Meditate on him. So meditation is something we all do, whether we know it or not. Now, I would encourage you, maybe even in this time of, you might have a lot of extra time to do this, to find a quiet place in your home and meditate, not on what the news says. In fact, let me tell you something. Maybe you could turn the news off for an hour. Because 24/7, I mean, it's just going. And I'm not against information. I'm not against wisdom, right? We have to use wisdom. In fact, we will use wisdom. If next week we're not meeting here, it's because we're using wisdom and we're listening to the authorities that we submit to and the best way that they can figure this out. But sometimes we just need to turn off what's going all around us, because otherwise it just brings us into this fear, worry, and anxiety. And you can just see it in the faces of people. Some people are okay, but different personalities handle things differently. And so even me, as strong-willed as I am, I had a few moments where I went, what if? And I had to go, but that hasn't happened. So focus on the here and now. Remember who your father is. Remember your source. Your family's here. Everything is good. So rejecting toxic thoughts. Now, this idea of soul restoration, and I might even continue this next week or on live stream or however that is about soul restoration, but do you know that the word restore or restoration is literally part of the meaning of salvation? How many here would say, I got saved in 1973 or 2004, whenever it was? Well, sure, what we meant is we had this awakening to Jesus, right? But the apostles tell us that we're being saved, to those being saved, that we're working out our salvation. Salvation is not a one-time thing, it's a lifetime thing where there's different facets of our life. We work out this salvation, which, of course, we all know the definition is preservation, safety, rescue, deliverance, healing, wholeness, and restoration. Do you know that the definition of restoration is this? To return something to its former condition. That's a powerful definition. Salvation is literally saying to you, I'm returning you back to who you truly are, your original design. This is what you were made to be. That's a pretty awesome statement. Sometimes we think we have to try to get back to something we never were, but God, think about outside of time now, right? I mean, we hear scriptures like Jesus, the lamb that was slain before the foundations of what? The earth or the world. So we think in time, but God sees us outside of time. And so what he's doing, he's trying to remind us of, listen, I'm your source, right? I'm your source. I mean, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. There really is no beginning and end outside of the time. It's him. It's eternity. But the beauty of it is that's where we come from. And when we see this correctly, we can say, wow, I'm returning to something that was my former condition. I just didn't see it. God never gave up on you. Who you are is who you always have been, but if you don't know it, you walk around like an orphan, right? You don't know who you are. We operate in this false identity, and Jesus came to call us back to our true identity. So it's bringing restoration to our soul. What is our soul? It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. So we really need to embrace this restoration for those areas in our soul. So today, let's talk about restoration in our minds. We could say restoration in our thought life, because everything starts with a thought. You ever heard that? What's the verse that says, as a man thinks in his heart? But see, what we think about ourselves is important. And this isn't, I'm not trying to do mind over matter. What I'm saying is, what you think usually is what comes to pass. Right? So even in this situation, we're like, oh my gosh, I know I'm going to get it. I know I'm going to have it. I'm probably going to. I heard people saying, I'm going to die from this, freaking out. I'm going to die from this. Now, do we use wisdom? Absolutely. We don't just go, whatever, it's a joke. No, it's for real. I mean, the stats are showing it's for real. But we can't get into fear and worry. We have to use wisdom and we have to use discretion. But I love this scripture in Proverbs 4:23. It says, carefully guard your thoughts. Now listen to this. Carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life. See, right here in Proverbs, we have inspired scripture saying that our thoughts are our source of true life. We could even say this, that the thoughts that we have could be the source of true unlife or true death. Does that make sense? Carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life. Think about this. Why do I do the things that I do? Why do I say the things that I say? Have you ever thought about this? Why do I respond the way that I respond? You ever thought that before? Sometimes I've said that about even in my marriage, like, why am I responding to her like that? There must be something in my head where I'm thinking wrong about something. I'm thinking she means something that she doesn't. And so maybe my response is off and it could cause an issue. Why do I think the way I think? See, it's realizing that my thought life matters. Say that with me. My thought life matters. Say it again. My thought life matters. And what I meditate on will eventually come out. Good or bad, eventually it will come out. If you see someone acting crazy, it's because that's what they're thinking. They're thinking crazy. If you see somebody like, wow, they're just so loving and gracious and they're just such a peace, it's because they're thinking on things that are loving, gracious, and peaceful. I mean, that's just, it's an outflow. It all starts right here. That's why we're talking about it today. When this situation, when these issues arise, when the news says the thing they say, and learn how to reject certain information, because I don't know if you're aware of this, it's something brand new. I just realized that the news programs, they love ratings. Did you guys know this? Like, I just discovered this. They love ratings. And so the worse it is, you know, how bad is it? And the thing is, how many times can we say the same thing in a 48-hour period and make it new news? Now, what I'm not saying is you don't watch the news, but know how to discriminate as to what you're listening to, right? Listen to Holy Spirit when these things are coming forth, because there is some true facts. There are some things that are happening, and we need to be aware of that, but we can't let fear creep in. I was thinking about when I was about probably 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. It's been so long ago, I can't quite remember. But I had ingrown toenails. Anyone here ever dealt with ingrown toenails? Anyone? Oh my God. So you feel me, right? It's like I had it on both big toes at the same time. And my brother Jason, he's running sound back there. He is so awesome now, but back then, I'm like, dude, the hallway is 5 foot wide. Why are you stepping on my toe? Remember this, Jay? We'd walk through a living room. It was 15 foot wide, and somehow your foot found my toe. I don't know what it was. And I'd be like, oh, and I just want to. That's back before I was completely saved in that area, but I just wanted to beat you up, and I did. But it was so bad that literally, this is kind of gross, but literally I would have issues every time I took off my sock and I'd have to wash them. That's all I'm going to say. Major infection. It hurt so bad. My mom had me soaking my feet in like salt water and like, I don't know, it was like this weird dark liquid. Iodine, does that make sense? Iodine and stuff. And you know, she used to be a nurse, but I'm like, just pull them out, do something. Well, later in life, I found out that if you went to a podiatrist, a foot doctor, that you could actually have these things taken care of and there's like special surgery. So I remember I went to this guy and he's like, oh, I can totally take care of this. I do them every day. I'm like, seriously, you can take care of these? He's like, yeah. So I went in and he says, well, right now it's too toxic. I mean, you have way too much infection. I'm going to put you on some antibiotics for the next 10 days, and then we're going to reschedule for you to come in and get your surgery. The idea is if there's too much toxicity, if there's too much inflammation and swelling, you know, in the toe, then it won't actually take the, what do they call, anesthesia or whatever, the local anesthesia. And, of course, they're going to use lasers and blades and stuff, right? So I go back. He says, okay, things look good. So I remember he was shooting me up with this stuff, and he says, now do you feel that? I'm like, yeah, I still kind of do. And he gave me a little more. He's like, I still kind of do. He's like, are you kidding me? He keeps writing on a chart more and more and more. Well, finally, we get to a point where I'm like, I don't think I feel it. I just feel pressure. He's like, okay, well, let's get started. So he literally just, you know, he just cuts down right to the nail bed. He takes it out and he goes, there it is. He puts it on his glove. I was like, oh my gosh, I hate you, you know? So he did this. And then he says, now what we're going to do is we're going to cauterize that. And this was back when lasers became the big thing. So he would use this laser. And so I remember he got this laser thing down, apparatus. He sticks it in my toe and I go, ah, like that. And he's like, well, you're joking, right? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, you felt that? And I'm like, yeah, it was really hot. And he goes, yeah, it's 1,000 degrees. I can't believe you felt that. And we realized at that point that even though he had shot me up with all this stuff to numb, because infection was still present in the very bed of it, I felt the hot laser. It was not fun. And I said, just do it, bro. Go, you know, let's get it done. And we're already almost all the way through, but it hurt so bad. See, the toxins were so great. There was such an issue, the toxicity, that it couldn't even heal. It wasn't even able to take on, you know, that solution or liquid to numb it. And so I felt the laser and it was crazy. But I was thinking about this idea of toxin. The definition of a toxin is anything containing poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death. So just like my toe, I believe that sometimes our thought life is in the same state. We have so much toxicity going on in our soul, so much toxicity going on in our thought life, that we can't even receive the healing that God has already provided for our minds. And so it's so easy in those moments to receive, embrace, or take on the fear, the worry, and the anxiety. I want to encourage you today. The first step in this is just saying, I'm here, I'm available, Holy Spirit, I'm open. See, Holy Spirit loves you. God loves you, and love does not force itself on anyone, but love's there ready to meet you where you are and to heal those wounds and to heal those thoughts and to heal those lies that you're believing about yourself, God, and others. So we can't seem to heal from the hurt. For some of us, we can't seem to heal from words of rejection or thoughts of depression, thoughts of being unworthy, thoughts that we don't measure up. And even when we're in the midst of something like this virus scare, depending on where our thought life is, we can make wise decisions and use discretion in how to handle this, or we go right to fear, worry, anxiety, and it's because of toxic thinking. Now, I'm not saying you can't feel the feelings that you're feeling. I've had feelings, and I had to come back to center and focus on, wait a minute, why am I taking on fear of something I don't even know? Because that's not going to help me make the right decisions in life. So how do we deal with toxic thinking? How do we reject toxic thoughts? Again, Proverbs says, carefully guard, say that with me, carefully guard your what? Thoughts. Because they are the source of true life. This word life in the Hebrew means alive, active, fresh, and reviving. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds like you're on an island somewhere, you know, in the Caribbean, right? Just enjoying life, and you're active and fresh and reviving. You got a pina colada, and the sun's beating down on you, but you got sunscreen on. I got to tell my wife because, you know, she's, I don't want to get skin cancer or anything, but we're enjoying life. We're enjoying the waves, the water. You know, we can actually experience this here in Michigan in the middle of winter. We can experience a life that is alive, it's active, it's fresh, it's reviving. But what do we have to do? We have to carefully guard our thoughts. We have the ability to allow our thoughts to be a source of life, lives that are active, fresh, and reviving. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, he says, for the weapons of our warfare, listen to this, are not of the flesh, right? They're not carnal. He says, but divinely powerful for what? For the destruction of, I like this translation, NASB, it says fortresses. Other translations say strongholds. Look at verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to what? Our obedience to God? No, to the obedience of Christ, which is a huge thing. When you take those thoughts on, you can say, no, I'm putting this under the obedience of Christ. It's not me, it's Christ in me. But Paul is saying it's not a battle against people, right? It's spiritual by nature. Why? Because everything is spiritual. So we're not fighting people. When you go to the local supermarket and there's only one roll of toilet paper left, you don't have to fight that person for it, right? You just go, get thee behind me, Satan. No, I'm just kidding. See, this is one thing that my wife and I were discussing. It's like, we're clearing shelves off. We got, you know, people, and I think it was Target you went into, and it literally said, one item per person, please. It's like they had to put a sign up to help control people. Because listen, even if you're down for a few weeks, guys, you don't need 16 tubs of Clorox wipes. One will do. Because there's other people who need it. My son Jonathan said that they were in the store, and was it the wipes that you guys were getting or what? Yeah, you got some wipes, and it was like, you remember there was like one or two left on the shelf, and you saw this elderly lady, and she was looking for wipes, and you said, you know what? And you gave her the wipes out of your cart. Why? Because he knew I could go get another one, and I know we have some at home, and I know that a family will be okay. See, this is what happens when you're not ruled by fear. When you're not ruled by fear and anxiety and worry, what do? You think about others. You're like, I don't need 16 or 18 tubs of that. I can have one or two because there's other people who need some too. Does that make sense? Yes. How many love wiping their butt after they go? I just said in that Facebook Live. Yeah. But I mean, but come on, seriously, right? I'm trying to get real here because we go and we take everything off the shelves and it's like, wait a minute, other people need to use the facilities too. Am I being real this morning? Yeah. Maybe too real for Facebook Live. Sorry. But my point is, we need to think of others. When we're ruled by fear and anxiety, worry, we make bad decisions every single time. I love this in the Message. It says, the tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life, which is what? Shaped by Christ. Isn't that awesome? Now, this word stronghold, when the Apostle Paul tells us, for the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds, this is really cool. This word stronghold in the Greek means anything upon which one relies. So what are we relying on? Who, I could say, are we relying on through this time of adversity? Because depending on what we're relying on, It will change how we act, how we respond, how we speak to people, and what we do. Am I making sense this morning? And so when these things come at us, negative thoughts, fearful thoughts, discontented thoughts, critical thoughts, what do we do? I like to say it in two words, poison control. Because really this fear is like a poison that is poisoning our minds. And I'm not trying to get over like, whoa, about it, but it does. I mean, what we listen to, who we listen to really does matter. It's really these antitoxins for toxic thoughts. My favorite scripture for this is Romans 12:2. We quote it all the time. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Now, in context, Paul is speaking to people who are coming out of the old covenant law. That was their world, right? He's saying, don't be conformed any longer to that way of living because there's a brand new way of living. But how many know we can make this applicable to us today? Applicable to us today. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. One of my favorite scriptures. If there's things in my life that I'm not happy with about myself, or it really comes down to the way I think, those moments, I have to say, okay, I'm not being transformed in this area because I'm not renewing my mind. And so this is so important that we renew our minds. It's this renovation, that word means, of our mind. And so there's three points I just want to look at today of how we can combat or reject these toxic thoughts. Number one, identify and reject toxic thoughts. Now, it starts with identifying. Some of us can't even identify that we have toxic thoughts. You know, let's take it outside of ourselves because we've arrived. But have you ever met somebody? Because, you know, sometimes I've seen people or even in myself, I'm like, why am I acting like that? Why am I treating people like that? Why do I seem to when somebody says something, it triggers me. You have trigger point? Someone might say something that triggers something. Well, there's something deeper there. We have to identify the toxic thoughts before we can reject them. So we have to identify and then reject the toxic thoughts. This scripture in Jeremiah, it's really powerful. It says, yet you know me, Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Look at this. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. Now, yes, are these powerful words? Absolutely. But what I love about this quote in Jeremiah is he's being real. He's saying that, you know, sometimes my thoughts are askew. Sometimes they're off. Sometimes they're off center. Sometimes I'm just not thinking clearly. And he's saying, God, you know who I am. So I want you to test these thoughts. And if there's any thought in me that's toxic, that doesn't line up with how you think and what you say about me, drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Strong language, but do you get it? He's saying, I can't mess around with my thinking. I can't play around with toxic thoughts. Listen, during this time, toxic thoughts will try and come your way. What will you do with them? Will you receive them? Will you take them for your own? Or will you identify and reject them? Will you have them dragged off like sheep to be butchered? Man, that's some powerful language. So number one, identify and reject toxic thoughts. Number two, replace toxic thoughts with truth. You know, when you do a renovation on your home, what are you doing? You're taking out the old and you're putting in something new. even if you're taking, like, say, an old table and you're restoring it, you're bringing it back to its original condition. But what do you have to do? Sometimes you have to strip the old veneer off, the old way off, the old ways of thinking. See how I'm correlating this? But then what do? You have to put truth back in. You have to restain. You have to re-varnish. You have to bring it back to that condition. But how do you do that? By putting truth in. I love what Paul says in Philippians. He says, in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, look at this, will guard your hearts and your what? Minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Man, look at this list. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You see what the apostle's saying? He's saying, listen, I know turmoil is coming. I know these thoughts are coming. Toxicity is there. It's coming your way. But how do we defeat that? How do we reject that? By thinking on things that are true, noble, right, pure, and the list goes on and on. Now, did you notice that he doesn't say to ignore what's going on? He doesn't say to pretend like circumstances aren't there? See, I've heard some people, they think the definition of faith is to pretend like nothing's happening. That's not faith. That's stupidity. Right? Oh, coronavirus, it doesn't really exist. It doesn't really exist. No, it does. It does exist. Do you see the difference? Faith isn't saying that it doesn't exist and it's a bunch of phooey. It's saying, oh, it does exist. We don't pretend like the circumstance or that adversity isn't there. What it's saying is, even in the midst of what is truly happening, in the midst of these things coming our way, think on the true, the noble, the pure, the lovely, and the list goes on and on and on. But why do you think on these things, Apostle Paul? Why are you telling us to think on these things? In order to replace the toxic thoughts with the truth. What God says about you. What God says about your circumstances. That's why we think on these things, because you have to replace those old thoughts with truth. Amen? So get this. We replace toxic thoughts with truth, and what happens? We make better decisions. We're more focused, right? We're not going to be irrational in deciding what to do in any given situation. How about this? We stay in joy, right? We stay in peace. I think during this time, we need to stay in joy and peace. We need to enjoy our family and those around us. Even you might be enjoying a lot of your family around you, so get ready to enjoy lots of peace. I'm just telling you, this may happen, but listen, if we're in fear and anxiety, what's going to happen? This is going to happen constantly, constantly. And there'll be no peace, there'll be no joy. Are you listening, Facebook? No peace and no joy. I keep forgetting that camera's there, Alyssa. Suck it in. Side view. Hey, listen, we get to laugh so we don't cry. Isn't it awesome? No, just kidding. So number one, we identify and reject toxic thoughts. Number two, we replace toxic thoughts with truth. And last but certainly not least, number three, this is huge, listen to Holy Spirit. He's always speaking. God isn't some deity far away. I mean, he resides in us. This is the beauty of being a new creation. I mean, God lives within us. But again, if CNN or Fox News or CNBC or the local news or whatever is on constantly and that's all we're hearing, you're not going to hear Holy Spirit in the situation. You're going to go clear the shelves. You're going to knock grandma out so you can get the last thing. And then you go home and say, thank you, Jesus, I got the last toilet paper. But that's not, what would Jesus do? He wouldn't knock grandma out, right? Not you, grandma. I love you very, very much. If someone knocks you out, you let me know after you come to and I'll take care of it. But my point is, we'll make better decisions. So listen to Holy Spirit. John 16:13, Jesus says, but when he, who, the Spirit of truth comes, look at this, he will guide you into all the truth. If you need truth, Spirit's there to lead you directly into it. So listen, that's why those quiet spaces and places of meditation are so important. And I'm not talking about prayer where you're going, God, could you, and please, and I need, and would you, and please fix them. And no, I mean meditation. Be quiet. Listen. Final scripture in Psalm 62, verse 5. It says, I depend on God alone. I put my hope in him. He alone protects and saves me. He is my defender, and I shall never be defeated. You know why I love the Psalms? When you go through the Psalms, you're seeing the heart of people being real. Do you know you could read some Psalms and it's like, wow, this is depressing. Wow, I'm surprised God didn't backhand you for saying that. You know what I love about the Psalms? The Hebrews had this way of just being open and honest and clear. And I love that they didn't try to clean up the scriptures. I love that the Bible is raw in the way it is. I love that when you look at it, you're like, whoa, this person thinks that, that person thinks this. They didn't try to clean it up and try to make it all conform so it's perfect. They let people speak from where they were. And this is what I love about the Psalms. There's times where I'm reading them like, yeah, David, I'm irritated too. Yeah, David, God is good. I've been in all those spots, right? And so look what he's saying. He says, he alone protects and saves me. He is my defender and shall never be defeated. Verse 7, my salvation and honor. We could even say my restoration for life depend on God. He is my strong protector. He is my shelter. Look at verse 8. Trust in God at all times, my people. Tell him all your troubles. Sometimes God is the best person to tell all your troubles to, not your spouse or your kids or your friends or the stranger in Target. I'm being serious. Tell God. He knows you. He says, tell him all your troubles. Why? For he is our refuge. Isn't that awesome? See, toxic thinking, what can it do? It can take us out. It's a vision killer. It's a dream killer. It's a relationship wrecker. It's a joy and peace stealer. It will take your joy and peace. And I'm saying, don't let it, even through this time of adversity, even as we're dealing with these issues in life and all around the world, we're not the only ones going through this, right? So think on these things. Meditation is God's idea. Why? Because he knows us. He knows that we are an outflow. We could say we are a result of what we meditate on. What you meditate on is what will flow out. That's why Paul once again encourages us. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We could say, think on these things. So what three things can we do in soul restoration? What three things can we do to reject toxic thoughts? Let's put them up on the screen. I want you to say this with me. Number one, identify and reject toxic thoughts. Number two, replace toxic thoughts with truth. And number three, listen to the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. That encourage you this morning? You know, we're not going to stick our heads in the sand and pretend like nothing's happening, but I do not want you to take on fear, worry, and anxiety. I want you to think level-headed. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want you to make good decisions for you, your family, and your friends. And so, like I said, this may be the last Sunday that we meet physically, but we'll still do the stream thing. But my point is, let's make good decisions by staying in peace. Amen. Do we have a microphone? Let's get a microphone real quick. I want to go ahead and just, we got a few minutes. I want to do some Q&R. But is there anyone here that has any response, any question, anything you'd like to add to the message today? You, sir.
Yes, hello. As you're talking, Pastor, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, number three, thank you, that just how important it is that we raise our kids right, that we talk to our children proper. A lot of us maybe weren't raised the way we should be, or we've learned the wrong things along the way, because now we are trying to identify that false thinking that we have so we can replace it with truth.
Yeah.
Well, if our children don't have false thinking, they won't have to replace it in the future and go back to the way they were.
Right.
Because if the way they were is the way they are, then that's the way they are.
Yeah.
And that was just profound.
It was. We don't even know what you're talking about. No, I'm kidding. No, you're right, though, Pete. We've talked about that several times. It's like, you know, we've had to unlearn a lot of things, and now we can actually instill things into our children where they don't have to unlearn certain things. Now, we're all on a journey, and there may be things they unlearn because we don't know it all. We haven't got all the revelation, right? But that's good, you know. So it's just a reminder that that's also why we should listen to the Holy Spirit, you know, and take that as we go. Because how many know it's a journey and it doesn't happen overnight, right? You roll over before you crawl before you walk before you run. So it's definitely a journey. Amen. Anyone else?
I think that this is a great opportunity for believers to, as we walk in peace and we're not walking in fear, and people see that in us, and then in the love and compassion of being able to do for others, this is an opportunity for us to touch the world around us. Mm-hmm. And to, when they look at you and go, why isn't this bothering you? Why? You can say, because I don't live in fear. I live in peace. I know that God is watching over me and that God's going to take care of me and my family.
Yeah.
And you can have that same kind of peace.
Yeah.
Because that's why, I mean, fear doesn't come from God. We know what's going on.
Yeah.
And this thing is very real, but we don't have to walk in fear.
That's good.
And we can walk in that love and that compassion and reach out and touch lives around us.
Yeah.
By giving of ourselves and not walking in fear.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, and that's really, this is an opportunity for us more than ever. You know, it's opportunities like this when adversity arises that we, you know, I heard someone say this, like when you're squeezed, when the pressure's on, who you really think you are comes out. Doesn't mean that's who you are, but who you really think you are comes out. And so I love stories like, you know, my son and others who have given something up for someone else. That's, I mean, come on, that's like doing it to Jesus. That's the gospel. My wife was telling me a story that, this is crazy when she told me this, but because this thing has originated from Asia or China, however that is, that there's been racial targeting in the United States against Asians. I'm like, what did they have to do with that? So you were telling me that you were in the store the other day and you on purpose, there was this cute elderly Asian couple and you made a point to converse with them and show them love. Why? That's what we do. That's what lovers of humanity do. That's what the Jesus in us does, right? It doesn't mean like, oh, I got another notch on my belt. No, we do this because it's who we are. It's what we do. Isn't that awesome?
I was just going to say in the same vein as what Ruby was saying, I called my sister-in-law we haven't seen each other in a long time, and her son and Chance are about the same age. And so just asking when we could get together, and she's like, well, I'm kind of freaking out right now, and so I don't really want to go anywhere or do anything, or, you know, she just basically wants to stay closed up in her house. And she goes, she just kind of got quiet for a second. She goes, you're just not afraid of it, are you? And I said, no. I'm like, said, I have my trust in the Lord, so I'm not afraid of it because I know who has my back.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not going to be stupid about it.
Right, yeah.
I said, but as long as nobody's sick, why do we have to stay closeted up in our houses?
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Well, and you know, it's one of those things where I don't think any of us can make sense of much because it's something I've never dealt with. But, well, we just try to trust the governing authorities. Paul does mention some things about submitting to the authority around you. And so we're not going to defy those things. But, you know, in the end, I think everyone's trying to do the best they can. But I love the fact that you don't have fear. You don't have worry. And we don't have to. And in that situation, you can make good decisions, right, based on information you have. And so that's key.
Where you're at, that's where you're at, and that's okay. You know, if you ever want to talk about it, we can talk about it, and you know, but if you need anything, let me know.
Yeah, so you get to encourage her,
right?
Because you have peace. Because how many know that when you have fear and anxiety and worry and you have no peace, you're going to extend to them what you have, right? And so that's why it's important that we stay out of fear, anxiety, and worry.
Taking my kids to the grocery store, you know, with me. So they've seen all the fear and the panic in everybody's eyes. And, you know, I turned to somebody in Walmart yesterday as they were completely freaking out because there wasn't something in the aisle. And I looked at them and I said, this shit too shall pass. And if looks could kill, I would have been 6 feet under. And then, you know, there was somebody else in the aisle that was panicking because there was no soap. And we were looking down the men's aisle and she said, well, at least the men will smell good. And we kind of laughed and we chuckled about that. And I said, you know what? We're all in this together. We just got to get through it together. And, you know, the kids know that there's a crisis going on. But I said, we're okay. We're okay. God's got this. He's got our back. It may not be how we want it to work out right now.
Right.
And we may not have everything that we want right now. Like, we don't have macaroni at home, but we'll survive without the macaroni. Yeah. We'll have to eat more spaghetti.
As long as you got Twizzlers, we're good, you know, in any crisis. And I heard Twinkies last forever, too, so.
Hi. Well, I'm grateful and thankful to be here today, and I wanted to let you know that Brad and Gabriel invited me today.
Nice.
I'm Gabriel's mom, and I'm just so thankful. These two are just so awesome.
Yeah.
And what I feel is I have a little fear. I mean, I think we all do, but it's not extreme. And so what I'm trying to do is when I have thoughts, and whether it's related to this situation or anything, to change, to be aware of my thinking, and it's called stinking thinking.
Right.
And then let that go, wait a minute, oh my gosh, you know. And a lot of things are mind over matter. And not to let anybody steal my joy.
That's right.
Because God has given me, God is my everything in my heart, my
soul.
That's
good.
Yes, amen.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. Awesome. Well, let's pray together.
For more information about Faith City Church, please go to faithcity.tv. As always, we pray that you would grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.